Hello and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We are so happy you've chosen to listen today, and we believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith. Today's episode is a part of our legacy archive, meaning it's an old one, but a good one, and one we felt impressed to reshare with you today. Before we dive in, we want to express our heartfelt gratitude to our partners helping us share the message of Christ all over the world through this podcast and our online campus. So if while listening to today's message, you are moved to partner with us to continue reaching the lost, you can go online today at thelife.cc/give. Now turn your heart and your mind to the Word as we begin today's episode.
Thank God for good Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord that love each other. Amen. I'm so glad that we can love one another this morning. And see, I love you so much that I'm not going to preach real long. But I want to share some things with you, if I may, from the Holy Word of God that I believe is setting a supernatural pace for 1985. This will set a supernatural phenomenon that will take place for 1985. I heard Brother Copeland say this morning as I was watching his telecast before I came that 1985, well, he believed personally as a minister, was going to be a year of miracles, a year of miracles. I believe that too. I believe with all of my heart that we are going to see signs and wonders in the earth that are done and performed by our God. The Bible says that if you believe, He'll use you to do those signs and wonders. And the Bible doesn't even tell us in totality what all those signs and wonders are. But we do know this, that the way for Him to do the signs and wonders will have to come by His Spirit. It can't come by flesh. I don't know about you, but I really don't care about anybody ministering to me in their flesh. Amen. I really don't care about someone ministering to me without the anointing of God. But if somebody has the anointing of God, I want them to minister to me. It doesn't matter if it's a mule. It doesn't matter to me if he's got the anointing of God. I don't care what background they have. I don't really care who they are in general. If they've got the anointing of God, I want to receive from that anointing. And so I want to share this morning with you about the anointing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, the 4th chapter. And I want to go through some scriptures and lay a foundation for you to have miracles for 1985. First of all, in Zechariah, the 4th chapter, and verse 6, we find this scripture. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He was actually saying, when he said not by might, he was saying not by any earthly army, not by any natural army. And when he used the term not by power, he was referring to the power of the human flesh. He said, what I'm going to do, I will not do by the armies of men, nor will I do it by the flesh of men. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it by my Spirit. Then that tells me something. I've got to know more than just the armies of men. I've got to know more than just the flesh of man. I've got to know the Spirit of God. And if I know the Spirit of God, I can know what I'm looking for. I can know what I'm pinpointing. I want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Amen? Don't you want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God so that you can see what God's going to do? He goes later on into this text in which we won't read it. But he goes later on talking about that there's a mountain there. And the way to remove that mountain is to speak grace unto it. But did you notice something? You got to know it's by His Spirit before you can speak to the mountain. You got to know it's by His Spirit. God wants to help us in 1985 by His Spirit to have miracles. You can know all the personalities of the world and miss God. You can know everybody personally, but know them by the flesh. Know who they are in the flesh and have none of the blessings of God. It's not going to help you to shake Billy Graham's hand to get the blessing of God. Not going to, and I'm not knocking Billy Graham. He's the finest minister we've got on the face of the earth. It's not going to help you, though, to shake a minister's hand. Notice he said, it's not going to be done by the pulpit. It's not going to be done by a personality. It's going to be done by His Spirit. And that's what we've got to understand. We've got to understand the Spirit of God. We've got to know when He is and when He isn't. And we've got to be able to flow with Him in 1985 to see miracles. God will confirm His Word with signs and wonders following. Now, why is it that it's necessary for you and I to know the Holy Spirit, to know the Spirit of God? Why is it important? Because it is through the Holy Spirit that bondages are broken. That those who are in yoked, whether it be bodily yokes, whether it be mental yokes, whether it be spiritual yokes or emotional yokes, the Bible tells us, and we'll read it in Isaiah, the 10th chapter, and verse 27, that it is by the anointing of the Spirit that the yokes of bondages are destroyed and broken. And so I've got to know the Spirit of God and the anointing of God if I'm going to help humanity. If I'm going to help my employer, if I'm going to help that employee, if I'm going to help that teacher, if I'm going to help that educator, I've got to know the Spirit of God. Because listen, Satan doesn't care whether you're the governor or whether you're a school teacher, whether you're black or white or red. He doesn't care. He'll put any person in bondage. And it doesn't matter. You may have all the influences of the high executive world, but you can still be in bondage. You may be of the lowest class of the human race, but yet still be in bondage. And I want you to know that God is concerned about setting people free. But the only way we can do it is you and I as believers have got to learn His Spirit, and then we've got to get a hold of His anointing in order to do it. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 10th chapter. I want you to read this out of your Bible. Isaiah, the 10th chapter, and verse 27. Isaiah 10, 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and His yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. See, He didn't say I could destroy a yoke because of my personality, or because of flesh, or because I just wanted to, or just had the desire to. Have you ever been walking through a mall and saw a cripple and had the desire within you to want to see that cripple whole? But yet you were powerless. In the natural, you had no ability in the natural to set that person free. But yet He's telling us here that there is no yoke or bondage of the enemy that the anointing of the Spirit of God cannot break. The anointing of the Spirit of the Lord can break that bondage. But I've got to learn the anointing. I've got to be able to recognize the anointing. I've got to be able to differentiate between the flesh and the Spirit and flow with the Spirit. And every time you flow with the Spirit, you get results. Hello. Every time you have the anointing, you get results. Now, some people think they have the anointing, but they're just annoying. And there's a difference. Like the old black preacher said, I've got the ointment. And somebody asked him, said, what do you mean you got the ointment? He says, well, I know, I don't know what all it is, but I know when it isn't. And that's the way you ought to be about the anointing. You will never understand everything about the anointing of God. But there's one thing for sure. You don't have to be too intelligent to know when it is and to know when it isn't. Amen. The Bible says there are different kinds of anointings. There's an anointing to teach. That anointing to teach is different from the anointing to preach. I've experienced both of those. I like preaching better. That's just me. I like preaching better. Preaching will inspire people. It will proclaim something to them. But teaching will educate them. It'll change them inwardly as they get a hold of the truth. It may not have the inspiration to it that preaching does. But it'll get the job done if you'll hold on to it and bite into it and swallow it and digest it. But it's different anointings there. And yet then there's an anointing to heal. Now every one of you qualify to have that anointing put upon your life because you're a believer. But then there are those who stand in the fivefold ministry who are gifted, maybe more gifted than others, more anointed than others. Brother Oral Roberts stands as a forefront for that. We can see the results in his ministry, how God's anointed him. God, by the Spirit, has anointed him with the gifts of healings to minister healing to our world. And we can see that readily when we look at his ministry. But yet, all of us have a potential to have that healing anointing to some degree flow through us. Now, I'll tell you this, the anointing will come on you only as you prepare for it. If you don't prepare for it, it's not going to come upon you. And he said, the whole purpose for the anointing is it is designed to break the yoke of bondage. It's not designed to get you a mailing list. It's not designed to make your name known in the earth. It is designed to help people. So if you're seeking for God to use you, you'll have to pay a price. And as Brother Jimmy brought out, the first price you'll pay is your pride. Because when you're under the anointing, you'll do things and say things that if you had time to think about it, you wouldn't. I was in a meeting. I'll never forget. I was in a meeting in Kosciuszko in Brother Hardin's church. Asked us to come do a seminar there. And there was a lady who came up for healing in the service. And she had heart trouble. And she was telling me she had heart trouble. And as she was telling me she had heart trouble, all of a sudden, just by an unction of the Holy Ghost, just by a sudden inspiration, the desire, just a sudden inspiration came to me, hit her in the chest. Now this is a female, a woman. I'm in a service. And all of a sudden the unction of the Holy Ghost came. Now I knew it was the Holy Ghost. And when it first came, I denied it. I said, I don't want to do that. And then it came again, hit her in the chest. And I said, I'm not going to do that. That I could get in trouble here. And then all of a sudden my mind started getting in and trying to reason, was this really God? And all of a sudden again, for the third time, now I've noticed this, you may notice a little bit different, but I've noticed in my life, God tells me three times, if I don't get the third time, He leaves me alone. I've noticed that God, He'll deal with you, He'll deal with you, and He'll deal with you. And after He's through, He's through. Then you'll have to come to Him. But God told me the third time, hit her in the chest. This time it was real strong. And I knew He meant it. And I knew it was from God. So I just hit her in the chest. And when I hit her in the chest, all of a sudden, boom, the power of God hit her. And God healed her heart right there. While she was standing there, God healed her heart. Brother Scott was there, and I think there was Brother Howell was here. I thought I saw him, but he was there too. And God healed that woman. But see, that was an anointing. If I'd hit her in the chest, in the flesh, I may not be here today. But you understand what I'm saying. You'll do certain things and say certain things under the anointing that ordinarily you would never do. Let me give you an example. Jesus was under the anointing. He had the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord upon His ministry and upon His life. The Bible tells us plainly in Luke the 4th chapter in verse 14 that He returned out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, and He entered into the synagogue and He began to teach. And what did He teach? The Bible said He opened up the book from Isaiah and He began to preach from the book of Isaiah. The Bible said when He opened up that book, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and He hath anointed me." And then He said what He had anointed Him to do. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He also said there's another anointing. He hath sent me to heal the broken heart, to proclaim sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now He said that. He said, I can do all these things only because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and I have an anointing to do it. Now, I can tell real quick when I have an anointing to preach and when I do not. You can too. And I can tell real readily when I have an anointing to minister to people and when I do not. He said, you'll know it because it's upon you. Now, you know what? If I'd climb up on top of Brother Jeff's shoulders, he'd know I was on him. Amen. He'd know it. If the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you know it. And other people know it. And if He comes upon you, He said, this is what happened. He's anointed you to do these things. To preach, to heal, to deliver, and to set free. And when you're anointed, you see those things happen. And when you're not anointed, it's because you didn't prepare yourself for the anointing to come upon you. Jesus understood that you must prepare. Why do you think He was in the wilderness? He was preparing Himself in prayer and in fasting so that when He returned, He'd be in the power of the Spirit, not the power of the flesh. Well, somebody argued and said, well, Brother Ron, He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, and that's why He was anointed. Now, wait a minute. We know, of course, He was the Son of God. But God did not anoint Jesus, hear me carefully, to do these things because He was the Son of God. He anointed Jesus as a man to do these as a son of man. You say, you're going to have to show me that from the Word. I intend to. He said that when He came, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him and He anointed Him. Jesus retaliated by saying this, this day, this Scripture is fulfilled in your ears. What was He talking about? Well, for instance, if Jesus ministered as the Son of God, He wouldn't even need to be anointed. He would already be anointed. And if He was ministering as God made manifest in the flesh, then do you think God needs someone to anoint Him? And if God needed someone to anoint Him, who would it be? Who's going to anoint God? The Bible plainly tells us in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He was referring to Nazareth as the Son of Man, not the Son of God. He surely is the Son of God. But He didn't do miracles as a son of God. He did miracles as a man anointed with the Holy Ghost. And the reason I know that is because at the age of 12, He was the same son of God, wasn't He? How come He didn't do no miracles? At the age of 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, He's the same son of God, isn't He? How come He didn't do any miracles? It was only when He was at the age of 30 and He was in the Jordan River that the Spirit of the Lord, like in a dove, came upon Him and anointed Him. It was at that point that His miracle ministry began. Because in John the 2nd chapter and verse 11 said, the beginning of miracles in Canaan of Galilee, meaning turning the water into wine. That was the beginning of miracles. And it was after the Spirit of the Lord came upon Him. What does all that mean to you and I? It means basically this, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all. Everyone say all.
All.
Say it again.
All.
Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Everyone say oppressed of the devil.
Oppressed of the devil.
They were not oppressed of God. God wouldn't anoint Jesus and then work against Him by putting devils and putting sickness on people. He wouldn't work against Jesus. They're on the same team. It's the devil who's the opposing the healing power of God. It's not God. God's not opposed to the healing power of God. God's not opposed to it. And for Him to put sickness on you means He's opposed to health. And He's not opposed to health. You need to clarify that and get that straight in your mind. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. First of all, of Nazareth, Son of Man, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing something with that Holy Ghost and power. He did something good with it. What did He do? What's good? Healing all. Now you know and I know that God is not a respecter of persons. If you're sick and you're sick, He'll heal you both. He doesn't pick and choose who He's going to heal. You decide whether or not He's your healer because He'll heal them all. He's the healer. He said in healing them all, not half, not part, not some. Healing them all who were oppressed of the devil. I had some dear brother tell me one time, well, you know, that doesn't mean what you're saying it means. I said, I didn't say it meant anything. I just quoted the verse. He said, well, what that means is the ones he didn't heal were not oppressed of the devil. I said, say what? He said, what that means is the ones that Jesus didn't heal were the ones who were not oppressed of the devil. I said, okay. Can you show me, chapter and verse, those that he didn't heal? Because I've studied the four Gospels and I don't find one time where Jesus refused to heal anybody that came to him believing. Every time. He healed so many people that many times the entire cities would bring their sick to him and lay them in the streets for him to heal. And he said the way he did that was by the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel. I want you to look at some things with me that will help you. And Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter. The book of Luke. The 13th chapter. Now, I want to show you some things because Luke is recorded as being the physician. And so he records things a little bit more in detail than the others of Mark and Matthew and John. Because of being a physician, he records things differently. And so I want you to read this story knowing in your mind that the one who recorded this was a physician. We don't know, but he might have been the physician. We don't know this for a fact. He might have been one of the physicians that the lady with an issue of blood went to. We don't know. But we do know that the Bible says he is a physician. And that he was the one who recorded this and recorded what was happening. And yet this physician agreed with the Son of God, agreed with Jesus, that the woman that Jesus healed by the anointing of the Spirit was a spirit of infirmity. It was not something that God had done. The physician agreed with Jesus by saying this came by the devil. It didn't come by God. Isn't that an interesting fact? He agreed with Jesus. I'm convinced with all of my being that God will heal you, deliver you, and set you free only if you'll agree with Him. If you don't agree with Him, there is no power for Him to set you free. Now notice what happens here. In verse 10 of Luke the 13th chapter. And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which man ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. I mean, if we were going to play by these rules, beloved, today is not the day to pray for the sick. And so you'll have to make arrangements to come either Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, because we don't do that on the Sabbath. We don't do that on the day that we proclaim Sabbath. Well, isn't it strange that God didn't know that? And that Jesus didn't know that? See, God and Jesus won't play by your rules. They go by their own. And you better play by theirs if you want results. And so these guys were all mad. They were full of hostility because Jesus had done this. In verse 15, the Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite. Now Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Doeth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead them away to water? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Not God. God said He anointed Jesus to go about and heal all those who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus found one of them. And when he found him, he says, you're not bound by God. You're bound by Satan. And he said, you ought to be loose. Lo, these 18 years, be loose from the bond on the Sabbath day. Now, I want you to see what took place. Jesus came into the synagogue. He's teaching in the synagogue. He sees a woman. He sees this woman in her condition. 18 years. We don't know how he knew that other than the fact that maybe somebody told him. But for 18 years, she's been bowled over and she can't even lift herself up. Now, that'd be pretty noticeable, wouldn't it? If you were in a place and you saw someone in that condition. And immediately, first thing Jesus did, he didn't pass her by. He didn't overlook it. He didn't even wait for her to say, I got faith. He looked at that woman and he said, woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity. Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. Now get a hold of that. Not that you're going to be. He said, I proclaim you loosed. Now he could only do that by the anointing. And then after he proclaimed that, he did something else. He went over to her, called her over to himself rather, and laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That tells me this. The anointing of the Spirit of God can be administrated by the laying on of hands. I can take hands, and if the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He hath anointed me, I can take my hands and lay my hands on someone who's been over even 18 years, and God will resurrect them. God will lift them up. God will straighten their body out because of the anointing. Because you know as well as I do, there are a lot of people, as Brother Hagin says, who are laying empty hands on empty heads. But when you lay hands that are anointed of the Spirit of God, because you have prepared yourself for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you, then you can get results. It's just that plain and simple. But not always is the anointing administrated that way. And this is where we miss it. Because we always look for someone to lay hands on us to get the anointing, and that happens. That happens. That's one way we see that. He said, lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. But that's not the only way. And so then when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, by the unction, that is by a sudden inspiration, gives you a strange way of ministering, we simply don't understand it with our human mind, so we reject it and we don't receive it. And yet Jesus ministered in strange ways. He ministered in unorthodox ways. One time he was ministering to a blind man and he reached down, spit on the ground, rubbed it in some dirt, made some spittle clay and put it on the man's eyes and said, now you go and wash yourself and come back and you'll be made whole. And yet if he was to do that today in the first church, whatever church that is, that would not be tolerated. That would not be accepted. There would be those who would rise up in indignation and say, whoever heard of such, spitting on the ground, putting it in dirt, and then putting that stuff on somebody's eyes. One time he came to a man who was dumb, he spit on his finger and touched his tongue, and he was made whole. The anointing will cause you to do and say things that you ordinarily wouldn't do and wouldn't say. But it'll get results when it's the anointing. When it's the anointing, it gets results. We must not be limited. When we learn the Spirit of God, and when we learn how to flow and recognize the anointing of God, suddenly He may cause you to do things that you normally would never do. Suddenly, just suddenly, it happens. Suddenly, all of a sudden, that takes place, and you do something that if you had time, you'd talk yourself out of it. I remember one time at a Sunday morning service, we were at our old facility, and the Spirit of the Lord hit me suddenly, just hit me suddenly. And I ran and jumped off the platform and ran around the building. And ran around, and it wasn't this big, so I didn't have far to run, but I ran around the building. And I remember that when I ran past a man in the back, I felt the anointing of God go off of me on that man. And later found out that he came up and told me, he said, I sensed something tangible, something physical happened to me when you walked by me. It's like a weight that was on me just fell off of me. He said, just fell off of me. Well, you know as well as I do that we'd be in the flesh if we all got up and started running around this building without the anointing, and it wouldn't affect you and it wouldn't affect anybody here except thinking we're all crazy. And everybody go home be all confused, wondering what is the Spirit and what is not. And there are those who are confused because people have responded in the flesh and called it spirit. There are those who have done things, even in the name of the Lord, that's brought a reproach to Jesus and to His church. But yet when it's the anointing, and when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you can get divine results. So we don't need to disqualify anything just because of somebody misusing something. How many of you know people misused automobiles? How many of you know people misuse? Well, do you stop driving them just because somebody misused them? How many of you know that they misuse their wives? Well, do you stop getting married just because of it? Do we all go get into divorce court and divorce our wives because somebody else misused theirs? No. How about with children? Do we all take our children, put them on a banana boat, and send them away just because somebody misused them? No. Heavens, no. We have to learn. Amen. We have to learn from that. And when I see, then when you see someone who responds to something in the flesh, we learn from that. We don't criticize. We don't get all upset and say, well, I'll never let the Spirit of the Lord do that to me. I'll never let nobody minister to me that way. You may miss God. You may miss God. If you're set in your mind of how you want somebody to minister to you, you may miss God. I'm sure that blind man thought for a minute, what is he doing? Putting this stuff on my eyes and then telling me why I'm blind to go find the pool and wash myself. And he's got this mud all over my eyes. How could I see with all this mud in my eyes? And he got to the pool and washed it out. And I bet you if you would ask him in heaven, he's glad he did. Amen? He's glad he did. He's glad he did. How about that man that he touched with his finger and spit on his finger and touched his tongue? If you had asked him today, he'd tell you with his own tongue. I'm glad he did. I'm glad I allowed him to minister to me by the Spirit. So you need to be careful. You need to be careful, beloved. Let's not limit in 85 how the Spirit of God will visit us. Let's not limit in 85 how the Spirit of God will minister to the needs of humanity. But let's just be open to the Spirit of God. Let's be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Let's be open to the Spirit. And I want you to know, if you're open to the Spirit and sensitive to the Spirit, His Spirit will come upon you and anoint you to minister to people's needs. But we must prepare. If we neglect to study the Word and to pray, the Spirit of the Lord will not come upon us. Jesus knew this. There were times that was recorded time and time again in the Word of God to where Jesus, even after ministering all day long under the anointing, knew He was going to another city, and He knew that He had to have a fresh anointing to minister to those people. So He spent all night in prayer. All night in prayer. He would minister some odd times, and you can find this in several places of the Bible, where He would minister sometimes to late in the evening. And then He would go and go into prayer and go into the mountain and pray. While all His disciples slept and rested, He would go into the mountain and pray. For the next morning in a new city, there would be the sick and the demon-possessed brought by the hundreds and laid in the streets ready for Him to minister. So we must be aware of this. The anointing just doesn't fall on anybody. The anointing of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the hand of the Lord comes upon those who prepared themselves, who have not neglected themselves. And therefore, we must know that even though something is legitimate, it cannot take the place of us preparing ourselves for the anointing of God, even though it may be legitimate. It must be first and foremost to be prepared to be used of God, even though it seems to be legitimate what we're doing. Jesus prepared Himself. He prepared Himself for the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. First John, the second chapter, verse 20. I'll read this in closing. The Spirit of the Lord is stopping me. He's directing me. In 1 John, the second chapter, in verse 20, the Bible tells us, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Ye have an unction, a sudden inspiration from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, I know I don't know all things. How about you? You know everything? Well, he said, I can know it, though. But the way I'm going to know it is by this unction of the Holy One. And therefore, I must be sensitive to recognize that unction. I must know when he's nudging me to do something. I must be able to discern that that's the Spirit of God that's speaking to me. And when he does, there will be certain things he will reveal to me that I didn't know. But he'll reveal it by that anointing, by that unction of the Holy One. And sometimes it's sudden. Sometimes it's as quick as a flash. And it comes. By the Holy One, by that unction, you'll know all things. There's times to where, if I've prepared myself properly, that I see into the hearts of men by the Spirit. I know exactly what's going on in their life. I know exactly how they respond. Like this man right here in this brown coat. I know something right now by the Spirit. He's got his eyes closed. He's right there. The Spirit of the Lord. Sir, you right there. The scratch of your nose. Would you stand to your feet? The Spirit of the Lord is quickening something in my spirit concerning you. I want you to listen. I want you to listen carefully to the Spirit of the Lord. There are some things that you don't quite understand, that you don't quite even know if you even agree with it, but you're not opposed to it. You just want to know it. You want to know the truth. You want to know what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. The Spirit of the Lord just witnessed in my spirit and showed me, said, that's why you're in this place. That's why the Spirit of God brought you here. Now he says, now go today and study and be a student of the Word. Not a student of man's philosophy, but a student of the Word. And he'd reveal things to you that no man could reveal to you if you'd go and study the Word. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Now see, there's certain things just by a quick flash in my spirit. The Lord showed him, said he needs to know that. He needs to be encouraged by that. Now see, I don't even know him. But the Spirit knows all people. The Holy Spirit knows all people. He knows what all of us have need of. But we must be sensitive. We must be sensitive to the Spirit. And to pick up on His wishes, on His desires, on His motivations, and flow with Him. I'll tell you one of the greatest ways to prepare for the anointing of God. It's through music. It's through music. It's through music. Those of you who are in the music field, you've got to understand in this day and time your responsibility to the Spirit of God. For the Bible says that when they needed the anointing to prophesy, they called for a minstrel to come and play. And if you're not prepared and seeking God to be prepared just as the man of God or the woman of God to preach, you may play the wrong song and kill the entire anointing. You may minister the wrong thing and destroy the anointing of God in a service. The Bible says that as David sang and played upon his heart, that the evil spirit that tormented Saul would leave him. Just by the power of music, by the power of praise. The Bible tells us that many times when Saul, when he would worship the Lord, anointing would come upon him, he would be turned into a different man. And it was because of all of a sudden you saw the minstrels that were coming, playing down the way and accompanying a minstrel with their harps and with their psalteries, playing unto the Lord. And all of a sudden the hand of the Lord came upon him. The hand of the Lord came upon him because of it. And so we must be sensitive to worship and praise. Jesus exhorted us For such as these, the Father does seek that they would worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know why He's seeking for those kind of worshipers? Because they enhance the anointing. They enhance the anointing. And when the anointing's there, yokes of bondages are broken. They're destroyed. They're tore down. They're demolished because of that. So every time that we come together in praise and worship, we are in a powerful position of bringing the anointing of God. Would you stand to your feet?